Today we are focusing on the why of the Berean way. We've made it all the way from the B, the E, the R, the E, the A, the N, the W, and the A. Now we've come to the why, which is a focus on youth. As a church, we want to be a church that is youth-focused, youth-oriented. Never has there been a greater time and a greater need to reach the youth of today. There are so many things competing for their souls, and God has given us the responsibility as parents, as pastors, as teachers, as aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews, and as a body of believers, he's given us the responsibility to reach them and to teach them the ways of God. This morning, I want to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, as we focus on youth today. And in this particular passage of scripture, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, Jesus himself is focusing on young people. Well, you say, how young do you have to be young? Well, if you're old, you can still be young. If you feel old, you're old. If you tell yourself you old, you old. So you can be as old as you want to be, but you can never be older than God. So that makes you a child in his presence, no matter how old you get. And he's going to teach us today what it means to be a child, even as older people. Notice what it says in verse number 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And he blessed them. This morning I want to share a message simply entitled, Let Them Come. Let them come. If you are a parent, let them come. If you are a grandparent, or if you are someone who's a van driver, or if you're someone who has a responsibility for a child or a young person, or maybe even a young adult, let them come. It's a loaded statement. Because in letting them come, that means that you too must come. Y'all didn't pick up what I just put down, did you? Let them come. My first compliment is this, but somebody has to bring them. Let them come, but somebody has to bring them. Let us look at the verse. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And this is interesting to me. He says, they, the question is, who are the they? They brought them, the people were following Jesus because of the teachings that he was giving out, and certainly the miracles. And so large crowds were following him, and in particular Pharisees and those who were trying to entrap Jesus in his words to trick him, to get him to say something that would be against the law of Moses. They were the ones who were following Jesus, trying to get other people or to keep other people from following Jesus. And so they are the people who were following Jesus. They were mothers and fathers and grandparents and uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews and anybody who had an influence or an impact in the lives of children. He says, and they, are you part of they? Are you the ones who have an influence and an impact in the lives of children? Whether you be a teacher in an institution, whether you are a parent, even if you are a foster parent, you have a responsibility to be they. Let them come, but somebody has to bring them. Statistics have shown and have been read that if you don't reach a young child by the age of 14, half of them would never be reached with the gospel. 50% of children who come to Christ do so before they are at the age of 14, and after 14, it drastically drops off. Do you actually know, do you know that for an adult to come to Christ, and an adult, someone who is past their, let's say their young adult age, do you know that it is not common for adults to get saved? You didn't know that, did you? See, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Because as you wait and you wait, I don't know what people are waiting on today. I don't know what you're waiting on. But as you wait and wait, what happens is you begin to convince yourself that you know better. Well, you know what? The church said if you did this thing wrong and God was going to hit you with a bolt of lightning, I'm 55, I'm 65, I'm 85, and I'm still getting away with all the evil that I've been doing. Nothing bad has happened to me. So guess what? You convince yourself that you have escaped the judgment of God by prolonging your or delaying your need of Jesus. It's better to accept the Lord as a young child or in your youth than it is to be older and reject God because why? You become too, as they say, big for your britches. You become too smart. You know too much for your own good. And so we want to reach them when they are young. The word here, when we look at the text, it says, and they brought young children. The children, the word is paideia, and the word actually means those who are from the infant age to those who are preteens. That is the age that that we are talking about in our text. But doesn't God want us to be paideia, spiritually speaking, children at heart? Look at what the Bible says. It says that they brought them. Notice who they brought them to. They brought them to who? Jesus. Do you know that there are people who will bring their children to church, but they won't come? But there are those who will bring their children to Jesus. Even those who may not be believers, they find a solace and a comfort in knowing that their child will go to heaven. Even if they don't feel like it right now. There is some comfort in there. And so here it is. It's interesting to me that these people who brought their children, they didn't have a problem bringing them to Jesus. They saw something in Christ that was different from all the religious leaders. And so they brought them to the Lord. When we bring children to church, are we bringing them to Jesus? When we train them and we teach them in our home, are we bringing them to Jesus? Are we teaching them? Are we training them up about the Lord himself? Because guess what? He formed them in their mother's womb. He knows all about them. And why not? And why shouldn't they know all about him? Yes, they brought them to Jesus. Listen, saints, we sometimes take our children everywhere and to everyone except Jesus. We take our children everywhere and to everyone except Jesus. Karate practice. I'll take them there so they can hear the sensei, the teacher. Football practice, soccer practice, ballet, gymnastics, baseball, football. We take them to see all these things, plays, concerts. We will spend time on things at the end of the day mean nothing when it is compared to heaven. We invest our time in worldly events that lead not to the spiritual development of their soul. It's good to have activities. Don't get me wrong. I like to have activities. I like to do. I like football. I like all of those things. But not to the neglect of their soul. Not to the casting away of eternal life. The greatest event in any person's life is when they come to realize that God loves them and that they are willing to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They brought them to Jesus, and as I said, we sometimes take them everywhere and to everyone else except Jesus. I think it is wise to include Jesus first, then he can redirect you to their specific gifts and talents and abilities so that you're not running to and fro, being tossed about with every different wind of kind of doctrine, not knowing which way to go, nor what to do as it pertains to living the life of Christ on a daily basis. He says they brought them to Jesus. It reminds me of Lois and Eunice. Y'all remember Lois and Eunice in the Bible? Lois was the grandmother of Timothy. Eunice was the mother. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about these two women, but one thing that it does tell us in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it tells us that these women had sincere faith. And no doubt, the sincere faith, matter of fact, let me read it to you. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul is writing and he's talking to Timothy. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He says, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, somebody brought you to Jesus. And if I'm correct, I believe that it was Lois and Eunice, and the same faith that was in them that was sincere, that was a genuine faith. Timothy, that same faith has been transferred to you. When you bring them, what you engage in is a transferring of faith from faith to faith. You transfer hope from you and hope from the Lord, from hope from you to hope to them, so that when you move on and when you pass on, your children don't live without hope. But if you neglect the hope that is within you, Paul says, listen, Timothy, I understood that this hope that was in you, this faith that was in you, it was in you and it was evident. And he says, I affirmed it and confirmed it by the laying on of my hands. I'm acknowledging the Spirit of God in you. And the faith that was transferred, we need some people that are willing to transfer their faith to the children. But you got to get it first, mama. You got to get it first, daddy. Grandma, how are you going to bless the children if you're not willing to receive the blessing yourself? You can't give the child what you don't have. If you don't have salvation, you can't present to them the way of salvation. Somebody else may. But God wants to include you. He says, I want you to understand the they is you. And so we wonder why there are not many children in church today, any youth in church. I'm quite sure that there are mothers and fathers who have children. I'm quite sure. Anybody have, let me just see by raising a hand, how many have children, have had children? Just about all of us, right? Sometimes, saints, we allow our children to dictate and to parent us instead of us parenting our children. Well, if they don't want to go to church, I won't let them go. Wait a minute. You have been given the responsibility. You are the they. You are to bring them to Jesus. The church is one who walks alongside of you. We are your helpers. We are not to replace you. Are y'all with me? And so he says, listen, you got to bring them. You got to bring them. And I want you to do like Lois and Eunice did. I remember somebody brought me. I told you the story that I was in the orphanage. I went to the orphanage. I went in foster homes. And when I went to the first foster home, there was a lady named Miss Maddie. Every lady that had a hand in raising me, their name was Maddie. I don't know what that's about. Maddie-lean at that. Maddie. But this first foster mother, she took us to church. It was the Church of Christ. And they were in their 60s, and I knew they loved the Lord. They took us in as foster kids. And I remember sitting in Sunday school at 7 years of age. And I remember going over the Ten Commandments at 7 years of age. And God would use those same Ten Commandments in that time that I had in church because somebody brought me. It had an impact on me receiving the Lord myself. She never saw that. She never saw the impact of her taking me to church, but God did. And yet you are receiving the benefit of somebody. You are receiving the benefit of somebody who had the audacity to take this little child, this Paideia, to church. The church doesn't save nobody. Jesus saved. The church is the body of Christ. We introduce people to Christ. The Spirit of God does the sealing and the saving. But guess what? You got to get there first. And maybe you say, well, hey, can I lead somebody to Christ outside? Yes, you can go and reach them. You can go and bring them in. You can go out to bring them in. Somebody has to bring them. Secondly, we must stop hindering them. We must stop hindering them. Look what it says in 13b. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples, notice what it says, who is a disciple? A disciple is a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. Do you not know that there are some things that disciples can do, that believers can do, that can actually hinder children from coming, hinder parents from bringing their children? Yeah, there's a responsibility for them to bring them. But guess what? Don't let us act up in the church and make it an excuse for them not to bring them. You know how we do. We don't mean no harm. But we can have some ways that just draw people away from the church and they don't want to bring their children. Rude and nasty dispositions. People who are nice nasty. You know what I call nice nasty people?
Oh, that's a beautiful dress. Mm-hmm. Did you get that from the Goodwill? That was nice, nasty. I call people like that politely wicked. They don't mean no harm. They may throw a bone out there at you or throw shade on you, what they call it. They're throwing shade, but really what they're doing is they're being nice, nasty. And some people are sensitive to that. And listen, saints, people ain't stupid. Am I right about it? People know when you're throwing shade. They turn lights and lamps on all day long. People know it. And so in the church, we cannot be like that. We cannot be people who are jesting at other people and talking about people. And listen, this is a sidebar. Be careful about whispering in the church. Sidebar. The Bible tells us that a whisperer separates the best of friends. I know you don't mean no harm when you pull over like this, but be careful. Go to a solemn place. Go to a place where it doesn't make guests feel uncomfortable when they come in and you may be talking about something that is totally spiritual. You may be talking about angels coming down from heaven, but when you look like a child of hell. I'm saying be careful. How many of you ever felt marginalized because somebody was whispering and you didn't know what was going on and you thought maybe they were whispering about you? Come on, raise your hands. What I'm saying is there are some things that we can do that will hinder people from bringing their children to the church, because we're focusing on youth today, right? And so, but here we see in the text, it was the disciples. It was the Christians who kept folk from coming to church. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I'm saying Jesus is the church, y'all, if y'all with me. And Jesus, and they brought them, but somehow through the back door, the disciples wanted to turn the people away. Let's think about that for a minute. What are the things that we do that hinder people? Are we condemning, judgmental, overly critical in the church? Everybody is right. We sang a song today about grace. That is true. Grace is needed. I like to think of the church as a place that's like Planet Fitness. So what that mean? What you mean by that? Planet Fitness has a sign when you go in. It's called the judgment-free zone. Are y'all with me? See, if we're going to have a place where people are going to feel loved, where people are going to feel accepted, where people are going to really feel joy, and they're going to really connect to God, what we need to have is a judgment-free zone. Not that we don't tell the truth, not that we don't preach the truth, but we do it with grace. See, grace it sets you free, but the truth will lock you up. When Jesus came, the Bible says he came full of grace and truth. It's one thing to tell the truth, but it's another thing to give somebody the grace to obey and to grow in that truth. One of the things that we do in the church is we talk about grace, but we really don't give them the grace because we just really want them, here's the truth. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You're going to die and go to hell. Okay, now what? See, now you got to back that up with some grace. But God loves you. And I love you. And I want to spend some time with you to help you to grow. Listen, saints, we must stop hindering them from coming. But look what it says. But it says, when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, listen to what he says. Jesus is not happy with the attitudes that we have that run people from the church, that run our youth, that run our young adults, that run people from the church. Jesus is not happy with it. The Bible says he was greatly displeased. In other words, he was indignant. He was beside himself. He was like, don't you dare do that. Have you lost your God-given good mind? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. And this is what he said. Look what he said. He says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone. We can hinder people. We need to have a safe place where people feel respected and accepted as they work on their goals. That's one of the Planet Fitness, one of their little caveats there. They want people to feel respected and accepted as they work on their fitness goals. And that means a judgment-free zone is a grace-filled zone. It's not that we want to take advantage of the grace of God. No, if we understand what the church is all about, if we understand what this spiritual journey is all about, we came to church because we want to grow. We want to allow our faith muscles to get bigger. You know how some people do. You got some people, now I got to say, you got some people, they go to the gym, you know, they get in, they get their phone, they check in, beep, they check in. And then they walk around the gym, they got their phone with them, they got their ear pods on. And they're going from equipment to equipment, and they haven't used one. They go in and they just talking to their friends like, yeah, man, when you gonna do this? Yeah, man, I'm gonna be over there. I mean, I've seen it just the other day. A guy was just walking around the gym, talking on his phone, not working out the whole time. You got some folk like that in church. We come in church, they walking around, they talking the whole time. They not working out. They not serving the Lord. They not doing anything that's helping somebody else's faith, not even their own. They're not even building their own faith muscles. But yet they can get on. They can talk about somebody. They can talk to somebody. They didn't bring nobody with them. Yes. Yes. We need a grace-filled zone. The church needs to be a safe place where children and youth and kids can come with their problems, where they can come with their hopes and with their dreams. The church needs to be a gym where they can work on their goals. Listen, saints, we are guilty of expecting new members of God's training gym called the church to be professional bodybuilding Christians. Let me say that again. We are guilty of expecting new members of God's training gym called the church to be professional bodybuilding Christians. We forget that change is a process. Discipleship is a process. We don't expect natural children to behave like full-grown adults. So why do we do this with young believers and with children and with teenagers and young adults? Our job is to mature them as mature Christians. Our job is to come alongside of them, those young people, those kids, those preteens, those young adults, and to help them reach their faith goals that Christ has challenged them with. Sometimes we want people to reach the goals that we have set for ourselves, but that's not what God called them to do. No, the child has its goal. The teenager has their goal. And the young adult has their goal, and you mature adult, you have your goal. And sometimes what happens is the mature adult, he imposes or she projects onto the young child rules and regulations and goals that are based on what they should be doing, not on where this child should be. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? In other words, we expect people to come to church already saved, already sanctified. It's a process, saints. And what I'm saying is, if we don't understand that people who are new, people who are young in their faith, and people who are little kids, they can be put off by your super spiritual mentality. We don't ever share with them what we went through and how we got over it. Oh, a church that does that, the church that shares its testimonies, the church that gives grace. We sang about both of those today, didn't we? When you are willing to be vulnerable enough to share a testimony of God's grace and truth and how you grew into that truth, the only truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and you share that with young people, it's attractive. It's attractive. Parents, you must be willing to admit when you're wrong. I've had to do it many times. Am I right about it, Ms. Harris? Parents are not perfect. You young people, newsflash, your mama, your daddy are not perfect. Oops. Let's just get that over with. They may want you to think that they are right, but to tell the truth, they done made some of the same mistakes you're making. They may not even tell you about it. You got to find out through the uncle. And you're like, what? I didn't know that. We want people to perceive us to be more spiritual than we are. And especially for those of us who've been saved for a time, it's okay to let people grow in grace. And so we got to, listen, saints, we can't be okay with sin. What I'm saying is, we don't want to endorse sin. That's not what I'm saying. But we do want to come alongside someone who wants to reach a spiritual goal. Now, if you just playing church and you just acting a fool, yeah, we're going to call you out. We should. And you want to act up and you want to just sin and you let the church say amen to it all. No, that's not Bible. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We should say something about, somebody ought to say something about open and active sin in the members of the church. Of course, Jesus died for it. But on these other things, our preferences, churches divide not on theology, but on what they prefer. I've seen a church get rid of a good godly pastor because he wanted to bring in some contemporary gospel music and they just wanted the hymns and traditional music and they let him go. Man had moved his family all the way from another state, bought a house, had invested his time and his energy, and yet on something frivolous. So it's hard today for pastors. We got to come by faith. We got to come by faith, because the same ones who said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, were the same people, some of them, that crucified Jesus. You got to know Jesus for yourself. We must stop hindering children and young people from coming into the church by our judgment and our condemning looks. Yes, we must give them grace. We must give them the truth so that they can build their faith muscles and reach their faith goals. We have the equipment to work out with, and that is called grace and truth multiplied by faith plus works divided by experience plus patience will equal growth. Did y'all get that formula down? Let me tell you again. Here's the equipment that we use to work out with. Grace and truth multiplied by faith. You add some works to that faith. Multiply that times the experiences that you get. The more you experience and the more you work, and the more you have faith, the more you trust God, and the more experiences you get, guess what? You begin to become more patient and those experiences. And then you begin to exercise spiritual growth. You begin to build muscles. Why? Because you allowed the process to happen. You allowed the process of faith to take root. You gave grace, but you also gave the truth. Third, we need to follow them. Notice what Jesus says. Assuredly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. A child will trust and believe until you prove them wrong. That's the difference between an adult and a child. Notice what it says. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little paideia will by no means enter into the kingdom of God or heaven itself. A child would trust and believe you until you prove them wrong. Adults try to prove you wrong in order not to believe you. Yes? What's the difference between a childlike faith and an adult-like faith? A child is willing to depend on the parent. Adults want to be self-dependent from the parent. A child is open to new experiences. Adults get conditioned to the same and resist change. A child sees through innocent eyes. Adults see through skeptical eyes. Jesus said, a childlike faith is what gets you into heaven, not an adult-like faith. As adults, we must humble ourselves and become like little children that we might experience heaven to its fullest. It's the faith of a child that gets you saved. It's a childlike faith. We have to humble ourselves. Sometimes we know too much. We think we know too much. In comparison to God, we know nothing. Let them come. Let the children come. Let them come. And it says here, in verse 16, and he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Let them come and get their blessing. Let them come and use their anointing. Let them come and use their gifts and talents. Let them come by bus and by van. Let them come by skateboard and by bike. Let them come by natural parents and foster parents and uncles and aunts and sisters and brothers. Let them come with their creative ways of worshiping Christ by drama, by praise, by dance, by instrument of praise, by youth group, by Sunday school, by kids church, by sports ministries, by youth camps and Bible schools, by their friends. Let them come with questions and with their hopes and their fears and their problems and their hurts and their saggy pants and their sometimes using cuss words. Let them come. Let them come. Grown folk who like to smoke cigars and cigarettes and drink liquor, let them come, because that's what the church is for. That's what the church is for. Those who are well need not a what? Physician. But those who are sick, will you let them come? Better yet, will you bring them? Better yet, will you bring you so that they can come? Amen.